Before I start, I'd like to ask if anybody needs a pen, because I'd like you to use a pen and take down some things as we go along. What I'd like you to do is not write down everything, but I'd like you to write down something that strikes you as we go through this wonderful psalm together. I'd like you to write down someone that comes into your mind, like Nathan was talking about. I'd like you to write down a word that jumps out and something that you can take with you to your home today so that you can remember it and can stay with you, so that you can take that and ponder it. I'd also like you to, if you don't want to write a word down, you can draw a picture of something that you have heard described here today. Draw a picture. We have some artists in the group here, I know. So you can draw a picture of something, or you can try to make it serious. Keep it serious in the sense you don't want to just doodle, but you want to do something that is going to be something that you can take with you to remind you of this as we go through this, all right? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this psalm. I thank you, Father, for the power that you bestow, and Lord, that you possess and that you are this great power, Lord, that is more powerful than anything that is going on in our lives, more powerful than anything that could threaten us, more powerful than any sin that seeks to destroy us. Father, you are greater than anything. You are the most powerful force in the universe. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see you in this way as we look at this psalm and to know that you are with us. More than that you want us to have victorious lives. But I pray that your words would be pleasing in your sight. In your name I pray. Amen. I don't know if you've heard about the shuttle that has been transported through Los Angeles. Have you heard about that, anybody? Do you know the name of it? It's called the Endeavor. I had to look it up myself. It's called the Endeavor. Do you know how they got the name? They got the name from it from people like you, a lot of you anyway. A lot of children were surveyed, and they came up with that name, and they suggested it to NASA so that they would use that name as they went up into space. It was the first, I think it was the last time, the last one that went up, if I'm not wrong. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It got my attention because my sister lives in Los Angeles. Not only that, but I heard that there was a lot of people upset because they were taking down trees along the road because the wingspan was too great for the width of the road. And so they took down these trees, and all these people were angry that they were destroying something like that for the sake of a parade. But that's what they did. It was kind of interesting to hear about that. But anyway, this was a great achievement, and it was a wonderful symbol of man's ability to go up into outer space. And I couldn't help but think about that somehow as I started reading it through this psalm about the idea of how they were going up into space. And a lot of you are too young to remember even watching some of the rockets that went up from Cape Canaveral. You know, when we were young, we would go to the television and we would watch this incredible happening where this powerful rocket would just go boom, and you would sit there going 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. And then this amazing power in front of your eyes just started to, the cameras, do you remember seeing that? Some of you, the cameras would shake because you'd see this, and it went up into the air. And the weird thing was after a certain point, you could tell that there were people inside of these things going up there. Can you imagine the courage that it takes for those people to get inside of one of those things that goes up into the air? And in fact, some people lost their lives when things went wrong. But it was an amazing achievement, and they go up into the universe, and it almost seems like they're going up there to investigate things and to look at things and to look around. And I know that from speaking to some scientists that they are searching for things, and they're going up into the atmosphere, right, to go and look and see what's there. They do many different good things and wonderful things that they achieve, and they're able to have satellites that help us to watch giant games all over the world and all kinds of things, you know. But it's an amazing achievement that they're going up to investigate what's there. And the amazing thing when we look at this psalm is that God, who has created all of the universe, what does he do? He searches us. He is looking at our lives. And that's the way that this psalm begins, in this powerful way. Lord, you have searched me. You have searched me, and not only that, but you know me. And as you go through this whole psalm, you get this impression of the person that he says, God knows me better than anyone in existence. You get the impression that God knows him even better than himself. This person is known by a greater power, and this power has searched him and has known him. He said, he knows you. He knows me when I sit and when I rise. He knows me all the time. He knows and he perceives my thoughts from afar. He knows my thoughts from afar. He knows what I'm thinking. He says he discerns my going in and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. You know me better than anyone. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. And those things that come out of our mouths have a beginning in our minds and in our hearts. And God knows what's in our hearts before they're spoken with our mouths. He knows what's going on inside of it. Do you know today that there is a God who is involved in your life to that extent? He knows what is going on in your minds. Most of us don't want that. Isn't that true? We don't want people to know us. We don't want people to be in there and see what's going on. We don't want people to be invading that space, that privacy, that place where we alone should be dwelling. But somehow we see in these words from this person that he is describing something that he enjoys. It gives him perhaps some kind of a comfort to know that he is known so deeply. He says he hems me in. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. I can't understand it. This is too big. This is too big for me to take in. It's too great. You're too great. You're too wonderful. He's taken by this, but he's not threatened by it like we often are, that we have somebody invading our space. We want to know all these things ourselves. We want to know things in the world, but we don't want to be told those kind of things. Don't cramp my style, we used to say. Don't cramp my style. Don't tell me what to do. Yeah? What else do we say? We say all kinds of different things like that. Leave me alone. I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. Don't tell me how to do that. I don't want to hear about that. All kinds of things come out. You young people probably have other things that you've come up with to say, you know, the same ways that we have. But it all comes from the same thing. Don't tell me what to do. I want to do it myself. I want to, you know. And many times we reject help. It's the silliest thing in the world, but we reject people who love us and want the best for us. And many times it comes in the shape of our parents. And we think that we know so much more than they do. And we feel like, no, listen, you know, take a walk. And we never, ever think about the fact of where we came from. And that's what this guy is doing here. He's reminding us of where we came from and that we are surrounded by a God who hems us in. And why? Because he wants to harm us? No, because he loves us. And this person here has a very, very strong feeling of that care for him. And it comes out in the language, this beautiful language that he describes. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Does that sound like someone who doesn't want God in his life? Does it sound like someone who says, you're hemming me in, God. Get off my back. Get away from me. No, it sounds like someone who's saying, I need this. Because if I'm away from you, then I have nothing. I can do nothing of myself. I understand now that you are the greatest power in the world and that you have given me meaning in my life. You have given me this life. You have put me into my mother's womb. And there, even before there, you knew what was going to come of me. You knew my bones. You knew the sinews. You knew the muscles. You knew the brains. You knew my life. You knew everything. Does that distract you? Does that make you feel uncomfortable that someone is in existence like our God who knew all of those before you? If you do, then you're in big trouble. You need to be bowing before a God like that. Because if you don't have God, you have nothing. There's so many things that go on in our lives This person must have been going through something himself. It says, the darkness will hide me. Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. But then he says, no, the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I can't go away into a dark place to hide from you, because you're going to be even there. The light is, and the darkness are one to you. It's impossible to run away from God. But the man is not speaking as one who doesn't like it. He prefers it. Perhaps at one point he did. Perhaps at one point he said, I got to get away from God. I don't want to be around God. I don't want to be reminded of what I need to do. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear God's word. I don't want to hear about the things I'm supposed to do. I don't want to be good. I want to be bad for once. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to act in a good way. I don't want to be that. I want to be bad. I want to do things that are wrong for once, and that's going to give me happiness. So get away from me. He goes, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Of all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is an amazing story here, isn't it? Isn't this a great God that he's describing? All those things. Can you stop for a second? Can you stop for a second and think about the fact that he knew who you were going to be? This takes all of the things that human beings are saying these days and it just blows them all away. It takes away all of the people that feel that handicapped people have no reason to be alive. And they're existing, people like that. People who run into hardships and have sickness in their family are made to feel as though there's something wrong with them. And God just blows it all away. He says, I took those people and I knit them together in their mother's womb. And so what he's doing here is he's taking our perspective as human beings and he's saying, it's nothing. And it's messed up and it's sinful. And the world is filled with people who are misrepresenting what God has intended. And the things that happen to us often in our lives are not representative of God. They are representative of evil and wickedness. And so there is great hope here for us who feel that there are situations in our lives where we feel that we've failed or that something is wrong or something is unrepairable. And it should tell us that we don't know anything. Because there's a God there who has made us with purpose and with goodness intended for us, and only goodness. And it should affect the way that we live and the way that we act and the way that we talk to each other and live. When I was considering this psalm, the first verse that came into my mind was that beautiful verse where it says that in 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I thought of people in this church and I truly, truly felt that this was something that I wanted to say. But the more that I looked at this verse, the more it turned around. And I realized that the thing that needs to be said is to God. You are a wonderful God. You are a wonderful God who has made us. You are a powerful God and a wonderful Savior. We are made by a wonderful God. That's why we are wonderfully made. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Have you thought about the thoughts of God? Have you thought about what he thinks about you? Have you considered how vast they are? Have you considered what God thinks about? How often we are concerned only with our own thoughts. I was reading recently in the book of Matthew about a section that says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, they will become children of God." And I read something very profound, and the person was saying that we oftentimes are saying, "What or how does this affect me?" And that's when we get into trouble. How does this affect me? And a peacemaker doesn't do that. A peacemaker does not think about that. He doesn't think about himself or herself. They don't ask that question, how is it going to affect me here, and defend their own side. They give up their own side for the sake of peace. And they listen instead of speaking. How good it would be for us to consider the thoughts of God and not our own thoughts. Search us, God, and look at our thoughts and see if they're like your thoughts. And then he goes into this section, "If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from you, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies." He's so taken with God and so taken and wiped out by the greatness of God and how wonderful God is and how wonderfully made he is and what his life means in the face of God. How could he have anything to do with wickedness? There is so much wickedness in the world. And there's many times that we keep ourselves, or we don't include ourselves in the number of the wicked people, but oftentimes we are filled with wicked thoughts, and one of them is to believe that we can live without God. The greatest wickedness is to blame God for the things that are going wrong in our lives, to turn against him and to say, "Lord, you are to blame for this. There must not be a God because of all the things that are happening to me." But the psalmist teaches that we do well to look at ourselves and where we came from and how we were knit together, and that God had it all planned from before we were born. He says at the end, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So this prayer goes up to God again, saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know what's in it. See if there's any wickedness in there. See if there's anything that I need to change. See if there's something like that that I need to do something about, Lord, because I can't have any part of those things. I want only you. I want only you to be in my life. I only want you to be my life. And see if there's any anxious thoughts, and test and know them." We've been talking about anxiety a lot. Anxious feelings and things that come up in us. Isn't it really a result of a lack of our faith? Doesn't it start to happen that we believe that things are not really under God's control, that things are out of his control, and we are going to control those things with our own thoughts and our own anxieties and the things that build up in us? It gets to the point almost sometimes that people are, if a person is talking with another person about their anxieties they possess, they almost can't even talk about it anymore because there's too many things to worry about. And don't talk to me about anything that I can do in my life. A lot of times we try to run and hide in the darkness. The psalmist tells us that for God, the darkness is his light. And I believe what he's saying there is that God is going to be with us every moment that we're alive. And the God that is being described here is one who cares about us and cared about us before we were even born. So how could he turn his back on us when we face problems in our families? How could he turn his back on us when we face sickness? How could he turn his back on us when we start to think about, a lot of us have kids going to college and we start to worry about that? Give us something to worry about and we'll worry about it. How am I going to pay for this? So all these men who take rockets to the moon can't solve the problems that we have here on earth, can they? But God can. He can't solve our problems. But God is right here, and we don't have to go up into outer space. We don't have to leave here. We don't have to go anywhere, because he's right here. He says to lead me in the way everlasting. And you know, I can't help but think about this powerful image of that rocket again. And I think it's a good one. I don't agree with some of the reasons that people go into outer space, but I would have to say that I like the image of the power it possesses, because it takes someone out of this one situation and boom, goes into another one with great power. And there's a lot of movies and a lot of stories being told these days about superheroes and people that come and they save the day. And it's hard to avoid seeing that we possess the greatest power that exists in the world today. And one day we're going to go with Jesus when he comes back. He's going to take us to heaven, to this place where there's no more pain, and there's no more suffering, and there's no more crying, and there's only going to be light, and God is going to be that light. There isn't any more need for the sun. There's no more need for any other kind of luminaries. There's only going to be God. He's going to be all the light we need. So our psalmist is trying to get our attention today, to draw us to look at ourselves through God's eyes. He's trying to tell you to take a moment in your life and to look up at God and say, Lord, you have searched me and you know me better than anyone else, so I need you now more than anything else, so please help me. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, then Jesus Christ wants to come into your life. He wants to come in and he wants to help you. He wants to take away all the things that you're trying to handle yourself. He wants to take away your sin so that you can be freed from it. Being hemmed in and being surrounded by God is the greatest freedom that exists in the world. Give your life to Christ today. Do not delay. Give it to him today. And for those of you who are filled with fears and feel that you want to be in control, then give it up today. Give it to God. Give it to him and say, Lord, I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be fearing anything. I know that you're here. I know that you're with me. I know that you can do everything. I know that you can work things out that I can't see right now, because you knew things even before they came into existence. So you can deal with the things that are in existence now, that are before my eyes, that are in my heart, that are causing me pain. The relationships that I'm having, all the different things that I'm dragging around with me, you can take those things, because you formed me even before those things were seen. And so there's some purpose in them. And he takes us out of those problems and boom, he takes us up into the atmosphere. And it's gone. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for those seated here today. And I thank you for each one. I thank you, Father, for the lives that you have formed and created here even before we were created. And I pray that you will use each person here today as an example to the world that they live in of the great power and love that you possess. that every human being has a purpose that everything that has happened in our lives has meaning as long as we know you. I pray, Father, that you would help us to give up the things that we're holding on to, and that we would hate wickedness, and that we would begin, Lord, to see the hope that you are shaping in front of us, that is realized already on the cross, in the greatest humiliation, or should have been the greatest humiliation for Jesus Christ, resulted in victory. And the victory over sin and over Satan, who seeks to destroy us, seeks to destroy our children, seeks to destroy us in our relationships to you, seeks to destroy us in our relationships to one another, seeks to break us down and to tear us apart and to make us feel like we're worthless. But you are there, and you grasp us with your right hand, and you lead us, and you tell us, I'm not going to let go of you. I'm not going to let go of you. I have made you, and I love you, and I don't want you to die without knowing that. Let me into your heart and see what you can see. Just see what I can do in your life. Give it to me all. Oh, what a great God you are. What a great and powerful God you are. How little we have faith, Lord Jesus. Help us to have faith. Help us to have faith that can move mountains, that you can move these mountains before us, Lord, these walls that are built up before us. Break them down. Break down the things that Satan is trying to break us with, Lord. Break him. Break his evil. Break his attempts to kill our society. And show him who God is. Show him who really God is. Show him, Lord, who created everyone. Show him your strength. May your strength be seen. Father, may your strength be seen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.